That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. Speaking of Hump Day, say hello to the king and queen of Hump Day, Claudia and Theo.
Hi, guys. Happy Wednesday. Theo wanted me to let everyone know that he's doing good. He actually got an early start on his humping, so he's taking a nap because he's, like, exhausted. I mean, you guys know, humping is actually a really physically strenuous activity. Lots of legwork.
Yeah, he's all humped out for the day, so I'm glad that he's celebrating in style. I can't wait to hump alongside him next week and to celebrate Hump Day the way it was meant to be, with T-H-E-O.
Yes, I'm glad he got it out of the way, because to be honest, we have a very busy show today. Like, yesterday
we do.
Was the
it's
premiere.
It's one of those days.
Yesterday was the premiere of The Bachelor at... The Bachelorette. And my God, do I have a lot to say. So we're obviously going to be recapping it and just... We're now in it. Like, we now moving forward, like, we are a part of it. Like, it all happened so quickly.
It did and it didn't. And I'm actually, even though I thought last night's episode was, like, really boring, I'm just going to pretend like that didn't happen and say that I'm excited for this season, because just like Potomac, you know, the end where they show what's coming up this season, I was like... getting excited. And I think at a certain point, we really don't know what happens, like, after Claire exits the chat.
Jackie, we don't know what happens after Dale. After Dale. OG Brothers will understand that reference.
After Dale. And so, for that reason, I'm excited. And also, like, there were some serious cuties last night. Like, she got an amazing group of guys who are not only handsome, who have real jobs.
I totally agree. I had the same exact thought.
I have a little crush.
Yes, I have a crush on, like, three of the guys, and we'll get into it when we do our TV recap segment. But yeah, you guys, we're here, and let's just be positive. You know, The Bachelor, it's so crazy. It just... to me, it feels like such a burden to be a fan of the show. One, because I feel like we're constantly being let down. And two, because the physical... no, not the physical. The literal time it takes to be a fan and just, like, be someone who's watching and knowledgeable about the season, it's exhausting.
Yeah, but I feel like if you're someone who can not listen to what's going on in the media, you actually have a more enjoyable time watching the show.
Yeah.
But, like, for us, because we already know what's happening... we are bored by it. But I agree. You know what? Because it's just been such a crazy 8 months, I'm actually excited for The Bachelor, like, content to overtake my life.
Yeah.
Like, that's a place where I'm happy for my life to be. And speaking of life updates, last night I finished A Place to Call Home.
Wow.
Last episode of season 6. It is done. I obviously, these characters will stay with me forever. Sister Adams, Sister Nordman, Sister Bly.
Of course.
But I just, you know what? It's not every day that a show comes along that changes your life. And when that show does come, you must shout it from the rooftops.
You must.
And you must share it with others.
You must.
You must.
You must.
And if anybody is watching because I told them to, I just have, like, one thing that I want to say. Like, I wish I had people to talk about it with, but I just want to say, like, Doris Collins is an icon, and she is my everything, and she literally made the show a comedy, and that's all I'm going to say. I look forward to everyone else watching it, because you know that I now am recommending it to all of the toasters, including Claudia.
Well, my dance card may be free in a few days. I have very few episodes left of Mad Men, and now I find myself slowing down. I just don't want to be at the end. I think I have, like, 3 episodes left. I've now gotten to the part where McCann Erickson dissolves them and they all like work for the big agency. And it's just nothing of the sort. Like, nobody is respecting Joan. Nobody's respecting Peggy. She doesn't even have an office yet. Don is one of like 15 creative directors, and he's just not into that type of environment. He likes a more of a boutique agency vibe. And I don't like this. I don't like all the change. It's very upsetting. And I only have a few episodes left, and I'm really savoring them. Like, you could tell they're tying up a lot of loose ends. Like, very, very sadly, Bert Cooper passed away. And that was really devastating. And Glenn finally met Betty 18 years later, and he's, like, a fucking freak. That was, like, the only storyline I don't really understand. Like, why the neighborhood kid
from... Who's Glenn?
Helen Bishop's daughter. Like, that kid who, like, Betty babysat once, and he was a freak. He stayed in touch with Sally after they moved, and Betty never knew. And then when he turned 18, he came to the house to say bye because he was joining the army, and they had, like, a tearful goodbye. And he, like, tried to kiss her, and it was just, like, so weird. He's, like, a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was an extremely weird storyline.
But they are just, like ending things. Like, I think that Joan ends up with this guy that she met from California, and he's so handsome, and I, like, love that for her. Harry Crane, to me, like, the craziest thing was what happened to Harry Crane. Like, he became Harvey Weinstein, like, 5 years ago. He was like, let's start a media department, because he had a TV in his office, and he ended up becoming, like, an actual important guy in the agency. And next thing you know, he's literally trying to get Don's ex-wife, Megan, to, like, go up to a hotel room with him just so she can get a new TV agent. Like, he literally became Harvey Weinstein. To me, that was the craziest thing. But that's literally how it happens. You give a fucking loser, an insecure loser, like, an ounce of power, and that's how they become these monsters. It's exactly how it happens.
No, but also the way that he got that ounce of power, it's, like, because he's the only person who, I don't want to say sound like Claire Crawley, because I find this statement to be so problematic, showed up.
Yeah, no, he's literally the only person who showed up. Like, what was it? Like, now it's, like, in the show, it's, like, 10 years ago at Sterling Cooper, the original one, he was like, oh, we should have a media department. And so Roger's like, sure, welcome to our new head of media.
And then, like, when the client started to call asking for a media department, they sent them to him.
Yeah, but that's just, it's really, it was kind of brilliant. Like, that is how powerful people, like, become monsters. They're nobodies. They're insecure losers. Like, Harry Crane was a fucking loser, and now he's, like, so problematic. It was really interesting. So yeah, I'm really, really, really enjoying it, and I'm really sad that it's over. And I know what's to come, and I don't want to do it.
Maybe by the time we see you tomorrow, it will be Auf Wiedersehen.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to fill my days so I don't just, like, finish Mad Men. But I know I have to finish it. Like, I know I do. It's just, yeah, I'm not ready to say goodbye.
I know. I became ready to say goodbye to the wonderful people of Inverness because I had to move on with my life. And now I have all these other things ahead of me. Mariah Carey's memoir, Here I Come. I don't even know where to start. So,
by the way,
I guess we could start.
Wait, before you do that. I watched Rock Chopin's Live last night with Hoda Kotb and Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz was promoting his new memoir. I actually think you should read it. It sounded really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He went on there to promote his book, and I got sold.
You got promoted. Okay. And you got sold to sell it to me.
Yeah, no, for you. But no, it's the type of book I would read too. Like, obviously, I know Lenny Kravitz, but he was amazing on Watch What Happens Live. Like, I don't know, some of the stuff they do on Watch What Happens Live, like, if you don't get Bravo or you don't get Andy, it could seem, like, a little stupid. But Lenny was just, like, down. He was playing all the games. He was getting involved. He was just, like, being a good sport about all of it. It made me really, really like him.
Yeah, you know I'm down because he is Jason Momoa's stepdaughter's dad.
And you want to hear the cutest thing?
And he's a Jew.
Yes. Andy was like, who is your first celebrity crush? And he thought about it for a second, and then he said Lisa Bonet.
I know. And you know what? The other week, there was a story. It probably was coming out, like, in conjunction with his memoir about how the first time he saw Lisa Bonet, he was like, I'm going to marry her. And it's kind of similar to the way Jason Momoa, like, has spoken about her. So there's just something about Lisa Bonet that makes you want to say, Mama.
Sorry, I didn't realize I totally butchered her name, Lisa Bonet. Lisa Bonet. Bonet.
It's okay.
Okay, now I think if you wanted to do what you were going to do, I would be okay with that.
Ooh, but I don't know if I'm ready again, because it comes and goes, you know? Well,
you're telling me? I know, I'm the only person in the world who understands what you're going through.
Oh, and you know who else understands. Thea.
You know who else understands. Today's sponsor, so get to it.
Okay, fine. Only because I'm so excited for the sponsor.
Me too.
It is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And I absolutely love today's sponsor, mostly because migraines are a huge side effect of RDH. I've actually, you and I both get migraines. I've been getting them since college. It is the fucking worst thing ever. And honestly, until we discovered Cove, it was nothing of the sort. But everyone knows that no two migraines are alike. If you have a migraine, you know it, and that's why Cove is helping you find an FDA-approved treatment that works for your migraine. Cove helps you get the migraine relief you need all online. Go to withcove.com, you fill out a quick questionnaire, a little consultation, and then a licensed doctor will recommend a treatment plan customized to your migraine and your prescription. It'll be delivered to your door for as little as $10 a month. Just a few minutes of your time and you get a personalized treatment plan from 20-plus research-backed, doctor-recommended migraine medications. And you don't have to worry about running out because Cove sends you migraine meds every month. No insurance needed, no trip to the pharmacy, it's all online, meds sent right to your door. With Cove, you can have more migraine-free days. So if you get migraines, you know that they're literally earth-shattering. They can stop your whole day from being productive. You literally can't even, like, look at the light. Like, I literally lay in my bed with a towel over my face and just, like, pray I'll fall asleep. And that I'll wake up and my migraine will be gone. But sometimes you wake up and your migraine's still there. It's so crippling. And if you're trying to be productive on a weekday, it can really ruin your mojo. So I love that Cove is just a brand completely dedicated to finding you a treatment that works. They've treated over 300,000 migraines and counting. If you want to check it out, learn more about it, and maybe get yourself treated, go to withcove, withcove.com/toast. And if you use that link, you'll get 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping. That's 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping at withcove.com/toast, withcove.com/toast. Check it out. My migraine listeners, like, you will understand.
Yeah, we're a big migraine show over here between the two hosts and the listeners. Like, we're just constantly suffering from migraines. So head over to withcove.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slash toast.
First.
Slash toast.
Slash toast. Slash toast. Sign on. Slash toast.
Yeah.
First story. Tonight is the Billboard Music Awards hosted by Kelly Clarkson for the third year in a row because she's iconic.
I'm so glad she has this job.
Everybody loves her.
I'm so glad she has this job.
I know. I mean, this job really, like, opened the doors to so many other jobs. Like, Billboard's an open door.
No, you're right.
Yeah, and it showed that, like, she's everything of the sort, and she fell in love with her, and that brought her a talk show. And so now she's back to the place where people first saw her in a new light. Tonight, we will have the Billboard Music Awards after they were postponed. We have all of the nominees if we want to play our favorite game of who we would vote for.
Yes. I mean, I love the Billboard Music Awards. I feel like it's always like a fun night. I feel like they include all the genres, and it's like a great night for country. It's a great night for pop. It's a great night for everyone. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing Luke Combs.
Yeah, I hope there are some great performances. I heard BTS is performing Dynamite, which has become literally my favorite song.
Jackie, the song deserves an Oscar. It is absolute. We were in the car last weekend singing to it, and we don't know any of the words, and we're like, Nana Suda did it with a little potato.
Funky song.
Light it up like dynamite. Whoa. And Samsung uses that song in their commercial for their new phone. And I swear, it's so persuasive. I'm about 5 seconds away from getting an Android.
I'm 5 seconds away from lighting it up like dynamite.
That's the thing. And I'm always driving through the city with that little funky soul. I think that's what it is. But it's such a fucking amazing song. And, you know, a while back, we did clash with the BTS Army. I don't know if you guys remember, but Jackie and
I... Yeah, we did.
We reported,
and they gave us a talking to.
Yeah. Jackie and I reported on a story that basically said, like, BTS and K-pop fans were really upset with the Grammy nominations because they didn't get a Grammy. And my stance back then was that just because you're popular doesn't mean your music is Grammy worthy. And that was what I thought. You know, I thought their music was very, like, breaking barriers in terms of its popularity, but I didn't think that it was the quality of, you know, Grammy deserving. And now I stand here today with my foot in my mouth because
no It's not necessarily your foot in your mouth, but BTS pretty much brought everything that you were asking them to bring. Like, yeah. You said, make a Grammy-worthy song.
And they did.
And they did.
Yeah, but when we had those opinions, you guys, BTS Army descended upon us, especially on Twitter. It was honestly, like, I feared for my life. It was so fucking crazy. But now, hopefully, this clip will get sent out to the BTS universe of us singing their praises, and will be accepted by BTS Army once again.
Yes, and will no longer be the irrelevant uglies that they called us.
Yes, that's what they called us, and we were dying. And we were so. It was honestly such a creative way for someone to like.
It was a great insult. It was iconic. Irrelevant uglies.
And you know what?
Cut us off at the knees. Like both things that could be so hurtful to us.
Irrelevant uglies. I loved it so much. We almost made merch out of it. It was so funny. But now I'm on the BTS train. Like I'm on the ship. Where are we going? Take me. Light it up like dynamite.
Light it up like dynamite. Okay, so here are some of the top categories for tonight's big show. So let's say if we were on the BB, actually, it's fan voted. So if you were voting as a fan, who would you vote for? Top artist, Billie Eilish, Jonas Brothers, Khalid, Post Malone, Taylor Swift.
It's just so hard because I can't really encapsulate what a year was. Like, who, I mean, Folklore was so big, but it's like there was also 10 months before that. And Billie Eilish was really big. I don't know.
You know what? I would either go Post Malone or Taylor Swift here. And I think because Taylor Swift has Lover in this cycle and Folklore, I think, is Taylor Swift going tonight? What are the chat rooms saying?
Are people going to the BBMAs or is it remote?
Oh, I mean, it's like a virtual show. It remains to be seen how it will be done. But I imagine that some people will go and accept awards, kind of like the VMAs. I don't think it would become more virtual than that.
I don't think Taylor will go.
Oh, if she doesn't go, then she's not winning.
You know, I haven't heard anything in my chat rooms, but I don't think she would go. I don't think she wants to, like, be stepping out. I think she wants to probably, like, set a good example about staying home. That's what my thought is.
Okay, but she went to the CWAs or whatever. Oh, the CWA, it brings me back to a place to call home.
Oh, I'm CMA. Like, what the fuck is the CWAs? No, she went to the ACMs, I thought.
Yes, that's, you know what I meant.
That's true. She did pre-record something. I don't think she went.
I think she went, but whatever. Top Billboard album, Billie Eilish, When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Ariana Grande, Thank You, Next. Khalid, Free Spirit, Post Malone, Hollywood's Bleeding, Taylor Swift, Lover.
Oh, so I guess they're not including, like, the Folklore era here, because literally Thank You, Next was so long ago. I can't believe we're still giving out awards for it.
I know.
But I'd probably give it to Post Malone.
I feel like these nominations came out months ago before the show was, like, postponed. And I think there's a chance that we've already done this.
Yeah, no, okay. Because I'm like, none of this music has come out recently. And it was all really popular, like, a year ago. But you're right. This award show was definitely postponed. And I don't think we need to go through the nominees. But
okay, but just one more category, because I'm just curious, because these are all good songs for top song. Lewis Capaldi, Someone You Loved, which just, like, is a song that I... something I love.
Agreed.
Billie Eilish, Bad Guy. Lil Nas, Billy Ray Cyrus, Old Town Road.
Oh, we're still on that song?
Mm-hmm. Lizzo, Truth Hurts, Shawn Mendes, and Camila Cabello, Senorita.
Lizzo.
I think any one of these could win except Senorita, for me.
I think anyone could win besides also Lewis Capaldi, because even though I do love him so much, I don't think it's the top song.
No, you don't understand. Like, Lewis Capaldi is out here, like, subtly changing my life. I'm obsessed with his album, even though it came out a while ago. Like, I continue to listen to it and have, like, new favorite songs. Hollywood, Grace, and now, like, Grace reminds me of Love Island. And I just feel like if anyone out there, and I don't think you are, but if anyone out there is sleeping on Lewis Capaldi,
wake up. Okay, I take it back. But I do think that Lizzo deserves to win and will probably win.
Okay, I mean, I do think it's about who shows up, and like, I can't believe that we're still talking about Old Town Road.
No, I know.
It's like we're living in, like...
Are you sure you're not reading an article from last year?
I'm reading an article from this morning on E!
Yeah, no, this is definitely a COVID delay situation, because this is making no sense. But I will actually be watching the Billboard Music Awards. Now that music awards and just award shows in general are so far and few between, and before we were so inundated with them, I've come to appreciate most of them, and the Billboard Music Awards is definitely one that I appreciate and will, like, be making a viewing experience out of.
I'm really hard on award shows, but there are some that, for I don't know what, like, what reason I love and I will always watch, and Billboard is one of them. And so I'm excited to watch tonight.
I think something about Billboard that we respect is, like, they have, like, integrity, because their entire platform is the music charts, which is really just whoever's the most popular is at the top. It's not like you can buy your way in, or like you're the most famous person, so you get to go up. So they have a little bit of integrity. And yeah. Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson. Okay, are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Kate Hudson and Gwyneth Paltrow are revealing their worst on-screen kiss on the Goop podcast.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's not who you would expect. Kate Hudson says, I kind of haven't had the best kissers. I feel like I should have had better ones. The thing is, every time I kiss Matthew McConaughey, it's like there's just something happening, and there's like snot or wind.
Ew.
When we were kissing in the end of Fool's Gold, we're like in the ocean, we had the plane crash, he just had snot all over his face. Ugh. Yeah, that's pretty nasty. And then Gwyneth said that she had an icky feeling when she kissed Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man and Avengers. She said, quote, when I kissed him and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is literally like kissing my brother.
Yeah. Okay. I actually feel that. I feel like the people in the Marvel or whichever it is universe are going to be really upset to hear that. But I actually, those are both really, really good examples with substantial like reasoning. It's not like you were a bad kisser, because it's actually a hard question.
And that's like so mean
yes,
to say.
Yes. Andy asks that question all the time on Watch What Happens Live, and people get so shy because it's really fucking rude. Like, if then you make the other person like feel so self-conscious. So I actually like that both of these women gave answers to really, really famous people, but also reasons, like excuses.
And like didn't disrespect them,
right,
but explain how it was a not ideal situation. Yeah, honestly, these are two classy ladies.
Yeah, I mean, I actually always forget that Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson were in multiple rom-coms together, because when you think of them two together, you think of the most iconic, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, like literally the best movie mm-hmm. ever, that Keith Urban song playing when they're literally driving to Staten Island, and it's just like, does life get any better than that moment?
No, on a motorcycle. On a motorcycle. Nonetheless.
No, it doesn't get any better. But then it's like, oh yeah, they were also in that terrible movie about like hunting treasure or something, which
yeah,
it's crazy that two people can make the same movie, like those two different movies, you know?
Okay, I'm so glad that you bring up this point, because there's something that might, like, for the last 10 years that has been bothering me.
Oh, please, let it out.
Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel made Bad Teacher, which is one of the best rom-coms movies. You know how I feel about the movie, and you know how I feel about the fact that you still haven't watched it, like, so disrespectful to your sister. Then they made Sex Tape together.
Oh, yeah, with the iPad.
And, like, how can two of the same people make two completely different quality of movies? I don't understand it.
No, it's so interesting. At the end of the day, like, so much goes into movie making, like production, editing, writing, that you can only put it on the two main characters so much. But you're right. It's crazy that, like, the chemistry they had in one movie just doesn't carry into another.
Yeah, and I need to know, like, maybe, I don't know who I could ask, but, like, what was the thing that made one movie so different from the other? Like, was it the writer? Was it the director? Was it the script? Like, because I feel like I love the two of them. I should love Sex Tape. And it's not like the worst plot ever. It's stupid, but whatever. And it's seriously the worst movie ever. I'll never watch it more than the one time that I did.
Yes, me as well. Also, can we just take a brief moment to appreciate the life and work of Jason Segel? I adore him. And I just wonder why he doesn't like leave his house more.
You know, I don't know. Why don't you leave your house more?
Wow. Okay. I see what you did there. No, I just mean like he's not like a celebrity. Like he doesn't go to events. He's not out and about dating. Like he doesn't even do movies that much anymore. I think obviously he's very wealthy and he doesn't need to. But it's like, what about the Jason stans? Like, what about us?
He's in it for the craft. I think he's a crafty one.
Yeah. I mean, he was also on How I Met Your Mother, which was a huge show. So he's definitely like rolling in the dough. But
oh, I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah, and also, like, Forgetting Sarah Marshall was literally, like, one of the biggest, probably the biggest movie ever. Like, it's honestly, I like it, obviously, but I would consider it, like, one of the top five most popular rom-coms.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. I'm looking him up now. I miss him so much. Like, he, for so long, was, like, my dream man.
Yeah.
And now I've just forgotten about him, you know?
He's just so tall and handsome. Like, I've never met him, but I can imagine he has this, you know, overwhelming presence.
For sure. Maybe that's why he doesn't, like, step out and go to these events, because, like, he'll overwhelm.
Yeah, and he's very conscious of his overwhelming nature.
Yeah, he's a considerate guy.
Yeah, he's in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He's in How I Met Your Mother. Here.
Freaks and Geeks, I Love You Man, Knocked Up.
Freaks and Geeks. Did you ever watch that show?
This Is 40. I tried to.
But I didn't
get into it.
Oh my God, it's an unbelievable show. It's only like one or two seasons. It was like this show made in the 80s. It kind of reminds me of the Goldbergs because it's like so 80s, but this was like actually taking place in the 80s. And it was like the first job for like Jason Segel, James Franco, Busy Phillips, Linda Cardellini, who by the way is now in Mad Men, and she is my least favorite character, Sylvia. Like, ugh.
Yeah, she's Bad News Bears. What's Don up to these days?
Just being toxic, single. He divorced Megan again, and he like found this waitress in a diner and like thought she was beautiful and followed her to Wisconsin. Like, I can't. This is where he's getting insane.
I was wondering when you were going to get to that part, which I never even fully understood, and it tanks the show.
Oh, and the waitress is played by none other than Esme from Twilight, the mom.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes it better, but still.
Yeah, but really quickly, back to Freaks and Geeks. If anyone is looking for like a true time capsule, a content upper, watch it. It's one season of a series and it's pure gold, and it happened to have been like the first project like so many famous people worked on. Like, you will die. Like, all the people just coming out of the woodwork are like famous.
Yeah. And it was Judd Apatow. Yep. And he got that whole crew together now, like that, and then that crew was just like shucking and moving and grooving, and it was good.
It's really good.
Okay, are you ready for our next story? Because it's like, you know, a full circle moment from something we reported on last week.
I love a full circle moment.
Stevie Nicks joins TikTok, and her first video is a take on the Viral Dreams Challenge. The legendary singer-songwriter sings the iconic 1977 Fleetwood Mac song in her first ever TikTok video. She says, "Afternoon vibe, lace them up." While she's drinking Ocean Spray cranberry juice.
I actually finally was scrolling TikTok right before we started recording, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, good for her.
Yeah, good for her. Good for 420 Dogface 208. And, like, for the Ocean Spray family, now Fleetwood Mac and Ocean Spray are forever intertwined. Like, and I'm glad that we can close the book on this. Like, I'm kind of done talking about it. But, like, I do love a story like this.
Me too. Do you think Stevie Nicks' was, like, branded? Because it kind of was giving me ad vibes. Like, the logo of the bottle was just so perfectly placed in the first frame. And her caption had hashtag cranberry dreams. Like, I don't know. It was curious.
You know what? I didn't think about it, but yes, 100%. Because, one, to make her join TikTok, like, I think they paid her to join the platform and to post this video so that, like, you know, people would be reporting on it again. Like, look at us. We fell right into the trap.
Yep.
And, like, to put, you know, the end, to close the loop on this, yeah, I think she got paid mad money.
Well, I think the FTC is going to be all over this because there was no disclosure, no hashtag ad, no hashtag sponsor, and that is what we call illegal.
Interesting. Well, gotta make that money.
Any way you can, Stevie. Any way you can.
Okay, our next story is a little James Vanderbeek news. Because James Vanderbeek is opening up about the drastic changes in his life that led him to move his family to Texas.
Wow.
So I don't think he's reported on it, but like, a few months ago, he posted a picture of his empty home and was like, we're out of here. And now he's talking about what happened that led to his decision to relocate his family, his wife and their five children. I actually thought there were certain interesting nuggets in here.
That is interesting for any like celebrity to move out of Hollywood and not like to New York or Nashville, Texas. That's like Joe Rogan moving his entire operation to Texas.
He said, in the last 10 months, we've had two late-term pregnancy losses, each of which put Kimberly in the hospital. We spent Christmas break thinking she had a tumor. The doctor was wrong, thank God. A business colleague I hired hijacked the project and stabbed me in the back. I was prematurely booted off a reality dancing show I was favored to win in front of the whole world, and my mom died. And the shutdown, all of that led to some drastic changes in our lives and our dreams and priorities and landed us here. He's overflowing with profound gratitude today. And he posted some photos of his family living the life in Texas. Farm Chemin vibes, I would say.
So do you feel like this is not only like a departure from LA, but like a resignation from Hollywood?
Maybe, but, like, he could be resigned for, like, the next year, 2 years, and then by the time he decides he wants to get back to work, like, things will just be picking up anyway. So yeah. It's really the perfect time for him to go on hiatus. I mean, obviously, everything that's happened to their family, they've been through so much in the last year, and that can compel one to move, but, like, the celebrity gossip in me is questioning this line about prematurely booted off a reality show I was favored to win in front of the whole world, because we remember that night that he was eliminated from Dancing with mm-hmm. the Stars, and I feel like everyone kind of thought that, like, he had wanted to go and, like, yes. kind of asked to be eliminated, because it made no sense that he was, especially considering that was the same week that his wife had miscarried.
Right, and I think that's why it was portrayed to us, whereas, like, he had this very terrible week. The week before, like, his pregnant wife was, like, in the ballroom and showing off her belly, and it was so beautiful. And then the next week, she's in the hospital, and, like, he has to dance and whatever. And I think he did end up dancing that week, but it was really made out to seem like he did his last dance, but, like, he has got bigger priorities at home, and we totally understood. He really was a front runner. I don't think he was ever going to beat Hannah Brown, but just in terms of, like, fans and, like, voting-wise. But it does seem strange to me that in this, you know, what was it, an Instagram caption or an interview?
Yeah, Instagram caption.
That he would put, you know, what his wife went through in the same thing as getting kicked off of a reality show, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, which makes me think that, like, him getting kicked off was really, and we've said this before, that, like, Dancing with the Stars, like, actually really fucks with people, like, the elimination process, mm-hmm. like, people find it really difficult, and when they do get eliminated, like, it's really hard on them, and so I'm just saying, I think at the time we kind of thought that he wanted to be eliminated yes. and maybe even asked for that. But now it seems like he was ready to keep on going, and he got eliminated, like, prematurely won and during one of the hardest weeks of his life. And now I'm just questioning it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine if it wasn't his decision why, you know, ABC and production wouldn't want him on the show. He was the most famous, yeah. most recognizable by name.
And also a really good dancer.
Oh, yeah, and excellent. Very skilled.
Very skilled in the ballroom.
Wow, crazy. You know, the pandemic is really making people reevaluate their lives and their priorities and what's important. And I commend James Vanderbeek for, you know, being introspective enough to see that Hollywood may be toxic for him.
I agree. And I am, you know, envious of the farm chum and vibes he's now cultivating with his family.
Huge.
Okay, are you ready for our fifth and final story? It's a little tech news.
Ooh, beep bop boo doo. Beep bop boo doo.
Boop boop boo doo.
Boop, 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 boop.
Okay. After months of waiting, Apple has finally announced the T for the iPhone 12. They've announced four new iPhones, the iPhone 12, the iPhone 12 Pro, the iPhone 12 Max Pro, Pro Max, and a new smaller, the iPhone 12 Mini. All the phones are 5G equipped, and they have some sweet features and coming in some sweet colors. And are you going to get a new phone?
I don't know. It's like, usually the Apple announcements are exciting, but I feel as though they're getting closer and closer together. And it's really exhausting to, like, it's physically exhausting and fucking financially exhausting to keep up with all these new phones. It's like, I have the iPhone 11 Pro Max. That is, like, the most recent phone. And I just know in a matter of months, it's going to stop working because they want me to get the next one. And it's like, it's so exhausting. Like, why can't we just, like, have a phone for a few years? Like, why, like, stop moving so fast.
Yeah, I know. I'm really curious about this iPhone Mini. Like, I feel like that's so cute. But even though, like, now the trend is towards, like, bigger, badder, better screens, so we can, like, literally stare at our screens all day. Like, I want to, like, go see what this iPhone Mini's all about. It gives me, like, Mini gives me, like, 2006
yes,
vibes.
Yes, I was just, like,
which is a place, technologically, that we have to get back to. Because yes. I've been thinking about it more and more. And when I was watching A Place to Call Home, and they have telephones, and they have cars and they have trains. And so, you know, there's a lot of tech, like, same with Mad Men. Like, there's a lot of technology, like, enough to get them through, but not enough to destroy them and ruin their lives and take over their lives. And I'm trying to think of, like, what the perfect amount of technology has been throughout history. And I really do think it's, like, when people first got cell phones, so you're, like, you're reachable at any time.
Yep.
If there's an emergency, if someone, like, has information that they need to tell you, like, before you, like, go on a date with a bad guy
yep.
or something. But it's not like you're just going to be staring at it all day.
Right. So, like, in Mad Men, I think about it all the time because it's really, they have the telegram and they have phones and they're on the phone 24/7, but it's like landlines. So if you're out, you're in a car, you're on your way somewhere, you're driving, like, no one can find you. And that's not ideal. And there were so many things that, like, got messed up because they couldn't reach someone in time because they weren't by their phone, they weren't in their office, or they weren't at home. And it's like, you have to either be in your office or a house for people to be able to reach you. So I agree that there is And the perfect technological place is not what we're in right now. Like, it is too overwhelming. It is too toxic. It is too social dilemma. Like, it's not. There is a perfect medium. And I agree. Like, the invention of the cell phone was fabulous because now it was mobile. Like, now it was, like, portable. You could be anywhere and be reachable. But it's gotten to a place that's so toxic. So when did you get your first cell phone? I think I was in, like, the fourth grade.
I was in fifth grade when I got my first phone.
Yeah, so that's early 2000s.
Yeah, early 2000s. So I would just say like a phone, you know, like a Verizon Chocolate sort of phone.
Yes,
Sidekick. Flip phone, Sidekick. But that does, you know, what we needed to do and also has the podcast store.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. Just like a Razer flip phone with a little podcast app.
Yeah, so that people can consume their favorite podcasts, like The Morning Toast, which is the millennial morning show.
It is.
And they're delivering the fast size stories every day. And they are the stories that you need to know.
They
and
are.
Then also they do talk about like themselves and what's going on in their lives and just like how they feel about the world
Much
around
to
them.
To the dismay of the audience.
And I feel like just, I don't know, I just can relate to them.
Yeah, you know? I feel that.
And then there's also Theo, who's my favorite host of The Toast. And he just brings joy to my everyday. So I would say listen, well, you're listening now, but continue to listen if this happens to be your first episode.
Okay.
There's a lot to look forward to.
And we still have a lot to do because it's Wednesday, which we forgot to mention is our Dear Toasters Day. And then we also are going to recap The Bachelorette. Which one do you want to do first, Jax?
Bachelorette.
Okay. Well, Claire's season was a go last night. She had, I don't know if it was like just been a while since we watched The Bachelorette. But were there so many guys? Like, at the rose ceremony, I'm like, this is the most packed room I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's always like that. It's always like every year they add, like, one more contestant so they could say, the most contestants we've ever had. So I don't know how many exactly there were, but, like, I don't remember. I remember two people's names, Dale and Blake Moyen, who I love.
I remember two people's names, Dale and Easy, who I love. When he made the joke about everyone bringing snacks and it wasn't a cocktail party, it was a potluck, I thought that was so funny and, like, what a creative joke. And I was like, this guy, I love him. And I've actually been seeing, like, a lot of DMs and things from the Toasters group of people who know him, and they say he's, like, the best, most fun, hilarious guy. And I feel like I don't think he makes it super far with Claire because he doesn't seem to be Dale. But I think that he could have real potential for Bachelor candidacy. He's very handsome and he's very successful. He was a pro football player. Now he's a sports agent. I'm putting it out there. I think he's the one.
Oh, I feel that. Also, knowing that Matt James is the Bachelor next season, so these men aren't here to audition for the Bachelor.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it makes it more enjoyable to watch because, like, still, I'm sure they'll be on their best behavior and they'll want to be favored in the nation and Bachelor Nation and go to paradise, etc. But it takes that out of the equation because that's the bigger prize than Claire, unfortunately, is becoming the Bachelor.
Yeah.
So I actually like watching it knowing that none of these men are going to be the next Bachelor. I agree with you. Easy had great energy. She really had such great guys. There were so many guys. I don't remember anyone's name, but like, I was like, whoa,
yeah,
that's a real guy.
I agree. Like, handsome, older, accomplished. We had engineers, computer software. Like, we had really accomplished guys, which is very new. We're used to, like, having professional swimmers and, sorry, former professional swimmers and social media managers. Like, we had a really good group of guys. I feel like she was probably really pleased with it. But I want to talk about Claire really quickly because I haven't really had an opinion on Claire before or after. I like how in their recap they were, you know, talking about her moment in Bachelor in Paradise with Zach Coulter, who's now like an Instagram thirst monster. It's so funny.
I love that they showed him on the screen, like, because you know he tries to, like,
forget
run so far
you guys,
from the Bachelor
you may
world.
Not know, but there is a what's the girl's name?
Helen Owen. Everyone knows
Helen Owen. She's like a big influencer, Revolve, like all that stuff. Her boyfriend is like a much smaller influencer. He like supports her, like takes the pictures. Like they're like a duo. Like it's cute.
And they're really like, they're so cute. They've been together for years. They're goals, they would say.
Right. And as probably very few people remember, Zach, her boyfriend, was on The Bachelor and was on Bachelor in Paradise and almost went home with Claire Crawley. And like, I'm sure when he found out that Claire Crawley was a Bachelor, he was just like vomiting because he pretends he wasn't on The Bachelor. Like he wants nothing to do with the franchise. He's totally disassociated. And when they put that screen up, they did totally ignore the fact that she got engaged on Winter Games.
I know, and I think that that was to their detriment, because obviously we all know that she's been on it five times, and to leave out the part, like, to leave out the part where she that was engaged. Her most impactful relationship. And I think it's because they didn't want it to seem like, oh, she'll just get engaged and yeah. she thinks she knows who her husband is, but she doesn't know who her husband is. And so I understand what they were trying to do, but like, we're not stupid.
Yeah.
And now it looks like you think we're stupid and that she might have like said something that would make us like not believe in her as a bachelorette. Like, listen, I'm sure she got engaged to Benoit, like thinking that he was like the man for her. And those things can be wrong. And also people, you don't see 100% of someone on a show like this all of the time. We're not going to fault her for it, but don't act like we forgot.
Yeah. And it's like all the examples they're using from her Bachelor Nation experience were literally 10 years ago. Like, are we really supposed to believe she's still hurt about Juan Pablo? No. So it's like, Benoit is the most recent love, and she did get engaged. Like, they would actually behoove them to lean on that more, but mm-hmm. I guess not. But what I was going to say about Claire is that I don't really feel like I formed, like, a full opinion on her until last night, and I actually really, really like her. I think there's a lot of benefits to having an older, more mature bachelorette. And the first is that she's just very eloquent and very well-spoken. And I feel like my biggest frustration, and it's so hypocritical because I talk like that. It's just like I'm a byproduct of my generation. But one of my biggest gripes with the show is like nobody speaks. It's like there's no sentences. It's like you like, yeah, I have a wall up. Yeah, break it down. Like, it's just like so.
Yeah.
It's not English. I'm like, what am I watching? There's no substance in the conversations. And when she sat down with Chris Harrison and was talking about, you know, her mom having dementia and her dad leaving her that tape, there was just like so much emotion there. And she was using big words. And I'm like, this is English and this is it. And I actually really appreciated that.
Yes, I would agree with that. And as she said throughout the episode, like, she will know her husband when she meets him. And even though I think some people would challenge that statement, I think I know what she means in that, like, she knows exactly what she's looking for, because at 39 years old, she knows exactly who she is. And so I do think with that age comes a maturity and a real wisdom. Set of eyes that can see a person for who they are and what she's looking for versus like, oh, who, you know, who am I going to look best leaving here with?
I completely agree. There's like a real level-headedness that comes with age and maturity. And I think that's a huge benefit to having Claire.
Yes. Now for just like the thing that she kept saying that bothered me, I guess like her motto for this season is just show up, which I find to be extremely depressing. Yeah. And she has now shown up though 5 times to The Bachelor. And, no, and I think there is like, she has proven that there's actually more to it than just showing up, because you could keep showing up and nothing great is going to happen. And so when she's like to these guys, thank you for showing up, like, I just think I understand what she's trying to say, like, because I think sometimes in life half the battle is showing up. I just think it's like wrongly applied to this situation.
Yeah, because in dating, like, is that really how low we're going to set the bar for men? Like, all you have to do is show up.
No, like, I'm telling you, it really just was making me depressed for the state of the dating world. If that is the bar, just show up and, you know, don't try to be your best self or push yourself out of your comfort zone. Just show up and it'll happen.
I actually liked that. I felt like everyone was really probably more excited than usual to be there, just given the fact that everyone had probably been quarantined at home for a few months and then 2 weeks in the hotel. Like, there is like this collective excitement just about like getting out of the house. And I feel like it definitely puts like endorphins in the air. Do you know what I mean? It's just like there's this buzz.
Yeah, I felt the same, and it made me excited to watch it. Now, I just want to say, in terms of the editing, and I know that The Bachelor drags everything out, but the fact that they spent, I don't know, 40 minutes about COVID testing and all of the precautions, like, really bothered me, because it was just like obviously not enjoyable to watch. It's extremely stressful. I just came off of watching Love Island, where they did the same thing. They did like a bubble for the show and the contestants, so everyone could kiss and be free. And they literally kicked off the show. They mentioned it once. They said, you know, everyone has been COVID tested and this is like a safe COVID space. And then we launched right into it. And I think that was the best. Like, I loved how they did that. And so to conversely do it like this and have everyone filming themselves and like the stress of the testing, it's like, we've been living this for 8 months. We all have been. We know exactly what you guys are going to do. And we know that you're going to be safe about it. Please move on.
Yeah, we trust and believe in the process. Like, you did what you have to do. It's like they just had to show. There was so much quarantine footage, so much testing footage. And it was like cute at first, but it really went on for so long. And it was like, we're living in an age where, like, if you're not following the guidelines, you're going to get canceled. And it really felt like ABC just wanted to prove to the world, like, this is what we did. Don't cancel us. Like, we are doing it right. And it was exhausting. And you know what? We're living in COVID days. Like, we don't need to watch it. It's really depressing.
Yeah. So that was, like, annoying to kick it off with. But eventually, they got to the point and everyone is able to live in the bubble. And it's very exciting. So, yes, there is an excited energy that, because also, like, even though, you know, she says, thank you for, you know, coming here and quarantining for 2 weeks, even if they just stayed one night. Like, for these guys, it's exciting, too, to leave the house and be able to kiss a girl.
100%.
So I think everyone is happy to be there. They're happy to be there with her. I think she, I didn't have a huge opinion on her either, but I think she definitely was net positive for me last night. I think she's extremely strong. They showed footage of, I guess one of the guys called her like the oldest bachelorette ever. I don't know who it was. And when she was like, I'm the oldest bachelorette ever because I haven't settled for guys like you, I was like, that's actually an amazing comeback.
It's an amazing comeback. I totally agree. I cannot wait to see who says that and like what the context is. Not that much happened last night besides the first rose ceremony. Dale obviously got the first impression rose. And it's very obvious that some way through this process, Claire decides that, like, she's wasting her time, she's wasting the guys' times, and Dale is the man for her, and, like, where do we go from here? Some people think Tayshia shows up, some people think Hannah Ann shows up, we'll see what happens. But the little drama that did happen last night was so stupid between, like, fake Tyler C and Yosef about, like, the girls in the DMs. I hate when drama consists of things that, like, we don't know about, we haven't seen, and we can't really attest to, because it's like, shut up, like, this doesn't involve us.
Yeah, also, like, if you are going to come in and start stuff with someone and your smoking gun is that he was DMing girls on Instagram and, like, that's just not enough of a thing to bring up. And you know what? Like, what he said, like, if it's true that, like, Yosef sent mass videos to girls saying, good morning, beautiful, I hope you have a great day, like, that is the, like, one of the worst crimes a person could commit on social media. I'm not going to lie. But, like, it makes Tyler C look bad because even though we know that that is so cringy, like, so you sound so crazy because you're saying that he said that he told a girl to have a good day. Like, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right. And I like, I agree. Those types of guys who are just like so shady and like DMing girls, like they're disgusting. But like Tyler C being a fucking snitch on the first night, like I was like, you're a bigger loser than Yosef. Like it was loser on loser crime to the nth degree. And I think Claire even recognized that because she started to reconcile between them and she was listening to this dumb conversation going on in front of her and she just got up and left because that's exactly what I do. What a waste of time. Neither one of these guys are like the guys for her. It's so irrelevant. They're both stupid and I could not care less.
Yeah, I mean, like, neither one of those guys were Dale, so she wasn't going to stick around for the conversation. It is really hard to, like, watch the guys working overtime to, like, woo her knowing that her heart is set on Dale. And I feel like even if she hadn't said the things that she said last night, like, we all would watch it knowing that, like, she showed up for one person. Yeah. And the fact that she even said to Chris Harrison, like, I met my husband, etc., it's him, like, that's so awkward to then watch the rest of the episode for us. Like, well, these guys are trying so hard.
It's very possible that there have been other contestants who maybe said something similar to that or felt that way, but it's all edited out. So it's like, we're as the audience until the very last moment supposed to be like, who's it going to be? We don't know who it's going to be. Like they really take out everything that would make us think that there's one front runner this whole time. But given how it comes to an end, we think, you know, she basically just leaves with Dale. I don't think they can ignore it. And I actually think them putting it in the footage is them A, getting out in front of the rumors because everyone's already talking about it. And B, it makes it actually really interesting to watch knowing that there's one front runner from the moment, because sometimes there is, like, sometimes the first impression rose wins and sometimes there's always going to be like
most of the time in the Bachelorette,
right?
The girls pick the first guy and they actually know exactly what they're doing.
So it's interesting to watch it this way.
What was also interesting was a few things about Blake Moynes, who it just stole my heart. Really?
Who's Blake Moynes? The one who DM'd her?
The one who DM'd her, who's like he's in forestry and he's everything of the sort and he's so cute. But she said that he DM'd her and she said that he was the only one. And like up until now, I kind of believe that she was so into Dale because she had spoken to him before.
Right.
And then by the time she met him out of the limo, like all of their conversations, like the in-person matched with the online.
Yeah.
But I don't take her for a liar. So
me neither.
Now I'm feeling like maybe they didn't talk before. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get the vibe that they had talked before. And I thought it was really interesting that she brought up like the rules. And I thought she was going to be like a teacher and send him home. And I was literally going to turn off the TV right then and there. But I actually thought it was really, really sweet that she like that not only that he messaged her, but that she really appreciated it. Because I know, you know that feeling when it's like you're so lonely and like you literally have nothing to do and like you're just in like a bad place. And then like you just get to talk to someone and it's like so refreshing.
Yeah, I don't think she answered him, though.
Oh.
From the way she mentioned it. Like, I think that she was going through a lot. Like, obviously, her season was postponed. Her mom had been injured. And Blake just sent her a message, like, something nice, like, mm-hmm. thinking of her or whatever. And she definitely didn't answer because she knew that she couldn't. But just seeing it, like, made, like, meant so much to her. And I felt what she was saying. Yeah. And I thought it was really nice. I mean, if we had a full season, like, he would definitely probably be her runner-up.
Yeah, he's mad cute. There's just a lot of cuties. It's a really good group of guys. I feel like we always say that about The Bachelor. Like, it's always a really good group of girls. But I don't actually always feel like the group of guys chosen for The Bachelorette are, like, eligible. And I feel like this is probably one of the best casts we've had in a while, just in terms of eligibility, like, for Claire. And compatibility.
100%. Like, real men. They're good-looking. They're employed. And they're...
They don't
nice.
Appear like to be overwhelmingly thirsty.
Agreed.
But that remains
there
to be seen.
There were a few guys, though. Like, I feel like they're very different from the crop of Bachelor guys that we usually get. But there were a few who were, like, harking me back to, like, the typical. Like, I feel of like course. That Tyler C guy. It's like, maybe you would have cut it 2 seasons ago, but get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, you're watching old episodes, doing your research, and that's not going to cut it.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so we will keep you updated once a week on our Bachelor thoughts. Next week, I think we're back to Mondays moving forward. And there is...
If you're looking for more Bachelor content, the Snatchler is back. And she goes in on everything. Like, she could talk about Bachelor forever. So head over to the Snatchler. It's been a while since she's taken up the microphone. And we've missed her.
We have missed her. So full Bachelor recap, Bachelorette recap on the Snatchler. Subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. And before we let you go, it's Wednesday, you guys, which means it's Dear Toasters, our advice segment. If you ever want to write in, email us, deartoasters@gmail.com. We will always keep it anonymous. You can change people's names. And you could write in, you know, anything, having relationship trouble, friendship trouble. We've got a mixed bag today. I'm going to dive in if that's okay with you, Jax.
Please do.
Hey, ladies. Thank you so much for being the highlight of my day. You both are beautiful, stunning, and smart. And I died from your Rhode Island pictures. Thanks.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I need help with some TMI/body hair issues. I just started to seriously date this boy, one of the most serious relationships I've ever had. I've hooked up with other people before in undergrad college, but I've never more seriously, it's just been drunken hookups. I used to always shave my vagine when I knew I was going to hook up with someone or going out. Since I started seriously dating this guy, we see each other like 4 times a week and shaving is too much. I absolutely hate being hairy and unfortunately I'm broke AF, so lasering is not possible right now. I tried sugaring 2 weeks ago for the first time and I loved it. The problem is my hair is starting to grow back very patchy and I can't wait to go back for a wax for another 2 weeks. How do I approach this the next time I see my boy and we hook up? Every time we have hooked up so far, I've been bare down there and I don't want to ambush him with a patchy bush out of nowhere. Do I give him a heads up about how patchy it is down there or do I not say anything at all? Like, do guys care? Please help. Sincerely, patchy and confused.
Oh my God, you're so cute. Guys don't care.
Yeah, no, like you're being a little specific. Like, okay, if you had a raging bush, he would obviously notice it. But like little patch, little stubble, like I think you're okay.
Even if, like, you got to the Bush stage, to the Bush administration, guys do not care, truly. And so I would also just say, try waxing going forward.
Find what works and then get on a schedule.
Yeah, I find success with waxing. But, I mean, everyone's different, but I understand the issue that you are having. I think you're overthinking it. I think if this guy really likes you, which just sounds like he does, like he's happy to be with you, bush or no bush.
Yeah.
And just, you know, enjoy yourself. You don't have to be like perfect with a hairless vagina. Like,
yeah. And if you know what, you're setting a really bad precedent that like, if you're perfect, perfect, perfect for the beginning and like perfect vagina, like you can never dip. Like you have to always be perfect. Let's say you guys get married. That's 50 years of a perfect vagina. And that's a very, you know, difficult expectation to meet.
Yeah. So just, you know, Like, whenever you can get grooming, do it, but it doesn't have to be perfect all the time.
I agree. But get on a schedule. Find what works for you. Like, try a wax. I think wax is probably best for you.
Because you'll get the most amount of time, in between with smoothness. And from my understanding, it doesn't grow back patchy.
And then have a standing appointment, like, once every 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But good luck. And I'm happy that you're in what sounds like a very healthy and fun, fabulous relationship.
Yeah, like, good luck. Have fun. Don't be so hard on your bush. And just enjoy your life.
George Bush, man. All right, next up. Hi, Jackie and Claudia. What an honor to be writing in today. I just started listening to The Toast back in March, and it has very literally kept me sane through all of this. Please never go on vacation again. One of my friends, let's call her Miranda, recently moved in with her boyfriend, Steve. Steve is a nice guy, but really brings nothing to the table. He isn't very exciting. He adds nothing to conversations. And when he is around, he's just there, if you know what I mean. Since they've moved in together, they are simply inseparable. Every single time I've seen my friends, whether that's hanging out at somebody's house, going out to drinks, dinner, whatever, he's there. But the weird thing is, she never says he's coming and is almost never invited. He just shows up. My last straw was when we went to a Mexican restaurant last week. He ordered a huge meal and 2 drinks. None of us were drinking. And then we split the bill evenly. I just want some alone time with my friends before I move back to the city without always having to accommodate Steve and pay for his massive burritos. Not sure how I can bring this up with my friend without offending her, but I don't think just because you live with your significant other, that automatically means you're now a package deal. Sign an annoyed toaster. I totally agree. Just because you move in with someone, not only does that mean you're a package deal, it should be the opposite. You guys are now spending more time than ever together. You can actually take a night off.
Yeah. Have you tried saying something to her, or even like something like, hey, like I want to have a girl's night, just like want to do girl talk. Like, have you tried to be specific about the fact that he is not included, aside from just like not inviting him and hoping she won't bring him? Like, I would start small, like, hey, girl's night, dinner, GNO, GNI, whatever it is, and make it clear that it's just girls or just friends. And if she still brings him to that, then like get to a point where you, exactly what you said to us, you say to her, you're not saying anything crazy. If she can't separate from Steve, like some girls turn into that girl, yeah, honestly, and it's unfortunate, and their social life suffers because of it, but yours shouldn't, because your friend is making these choices. So I would start with honesty. You have a few different ways you can try it, like levels of intensity before you need to write her off, but I don't think you're there yet.
And it's all in the messaging. Like, if you're just saying we're going to dinner and he comes, like, while that's not normal behavior, I could see how she would think he's invited. But if he explicitly, like, very Simon Van Campen, like, shows up on a girl's trip or, like, a girl's something, that is problematic. If it's being branded, if the event has marketing and the marketing is saying girls' night and he still shows up, that's very problematic and you have a big problem on your hands. But if it's just being, you know, toted around as like a dinner, he might want to come. So it's all in your messaging.
If when there's branding, he's still showing up, that just means you need to take a firmer hand and spell it out. Mm-hmm. And then if she doesn't acquiesce, you've got problems.
Agreed. Now, our third and final Dear Toasters is an update from last week on salt and avocado. I don't know if you recall, that was about the toaster who was dating a guy whose girlfriend had passed away, and she was, like, feeling jealous, and it was, it was tumultuous. She wrote back, oh my God, thank you for reading this. My apologies for my wording. I meant to say that she had passed 6 months prior to us started dating. My bad. He did not cheat. Okay. That's what I thought. But I completely agree that perhaps we're not in the right relationship. He should take the time to grieve, and maybe we're not in the right place for each other. Maybe we're not the right people for each other. Now that 14 months have gone by since she passed away, and he doesn't see me as more. Thank you for your unbiased insight and advice. Well, I'm glad we could get that little thing cleared up, because we don't want to be, you know, claiming people are cheating if not. But I agree, you know, sometimes it's just like, if something is coming too hard, like, yes, relationships are difficult, they take work, but they shouldn't be so hard sometimes, you know?
Yeah, especially not in the early days. And I think grief throws a whole nother element into the relationship that was once just, you know, like two people, boy meets girl, right, boy likes girl. It's just, it complicates everything. And so it doesn't sound like he was ready for you. And maybe one day he will be. But until that time, it's not the place for you. And I'm glad you can see that.
If you guys ever want to write into Dear Toasters, again, please email us, deartoasters@gmail.com. Don't be embarrassed of anything. We'll always keep it anonymous. And it makes for great segments. So, deartoasters@gmail.com. Tonight is the Real Housewives of Orange County premiere. We will be recapping it tomorrow. Wow. I am, like, dread. We went from, like, the height. We went from having Beverly Hills of New York, Beverly Hills Housewives, New York Housewives, like having premier TV on to now watching The Bachelorette and The OC, and it's just depressing.
Yeah, that's rough, but we'll see. Let's see how this first episode goes and how it bodes for the rest of the season.
Yes, we'll be recapping that tomorrow.
tomorrow,
along with all the Fast Five things that you need to know. So make sure you are subscribed and you check it out. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every morning on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. Hump day. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.